Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Apex Frozen Foods Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chaudhary Karuturi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manuja. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this investor call for the fourth quarter and FY24. With us on this call today are Mr. Durga Prasad from our finance team and Ms. Madhavi from our operations team, along with Stellar IR Advisors, our investor relations advisor. We have uploaded the investor presentation on the website of the stock exchanges, and we hope you had a chance to go through it. Let me begin by going through the numbers for the quarter. The net revenue for Q4 FY24 came in at rupees 162 crores, as against rupees 148 crores in Q3 of the same fiscal year, but lower than the revenue of rupees 212 crores in the Q4 of last fiscal, that is FY23, mainly due to the subdued demand from our key market, which is USA, and overall lowered global shrimp prices, which have been tapering off in the recent months and continue to remain at subdued levels. On top of that, the preliminary countervailing duties imposed by the USA on Indian frozen shrimp at 4.36% also acted as an additional dampener. On the positive side, however, our shrimp sales to the markets such as the European Union continue to do well. Sales to the EU posted a growth of 31% year-on-year in FY24. Consequently, the share of the EU in the overall sales mix increased to 30% in FY24 from 19% last year, making it a more diversified sales mix. It is important to note that this growth is only from our ready-to-cook products, as we still await the regulatory approvals for our high-value-added and ready-to-eat products in the EU market. Our company is optimistic about the future growth prospects of this market and the opportunities it provides, particularly once the ready-to-eat approvals are in place. The total volumes sold by our company stood at 2,302 metric tons in Q4 of FY24, as against 2,851 metric tons in the Q4 of the last fiscal. However, there is a recovery from the Q3 of FY24, where the volume stood at 2,117 metric tons. As we await regulatory approvals from the European Union, our high-value ready-to-eat products are only sold in the US, which contributed to the decline in overall ready-to-eat sales in Q4 FY24. While promotional activities are being carried out by retail and the food service companies that are also the distributors for restaurant chains, their impact has been very gradual, as we discussed in the previous quarter. From the company's end, like we mentioned last quarter as well, we have been taking steps with regard to setting up our wholly-owned subsidiary in the US, mainly for support with regard to logistics and also market development in the US and the rest of North America. The work on this front is progressing, and actually pending certain regulatory approvals in India, and which we are hoping to see the benefits coming in from FY25 onwards. On the balance sheet side, gross debt was reduced by rupees 60 crores from 167 crores as of 31st March 2024 2022 to rupees 107 crores as of 31st March 2024. And the total debt to equity remains at a comfortable level of 0.22 times. Also, there is a healthy growth in the net cash flow from operations from rupees 36 crores in FY22 to 112 crores in FY24. And with regard to the EU market, as we have mentioned earlier, our sales to EU have picked up very well. And in fact, the market was able to cater to a good amount of sales on volumes. However, we still definitely feel deprived of not having the capability to sell our ready-to-eat products to the EU market, because that is the regulatory approval pending not just for our company, but all the companies that are awaiting approval, that have started operations since 2019. And we are confident that we are able to develop furthermore into the EU market. And also now we are even looking at exploring the Scandinavian side of the European Union. Going to FY25, we are exploring newer markets there too, along with a few other markets in Asia. This is mainly to increase the overall sales of the company, which have been under pressure due to the slow demand from the US market. And in regards to the supply, at the global level, of course, Ecuador shrimp supply continues to add some pressure on the realizations, and they always did have the advantage of shorter sailing periods, whereby, you know, being closer to the North American market, that definitely have had its impact with regard to our sales volumes, as some of our customers have replaced their products with the products produced in Ecuador, and especially in the U.S. market mainly. That is all from our side. Thank you very much. And I now open the floor for the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ranodeep Sen from MAS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I wanted to understand, came across an article which mentions that government is working on formulating another scheme to promote shrimp aquaculture in a big way in the non-traditional fish producing states in North, specifically UP, Haryana, Rajasthan and Punjab. Haryana apparently has already seen 500 hectares of water bodies being brought under shrimp farming. Any thoughts around this? And this leading to a scenario of oversupply in the backdrop of where we are seeing demand issues?
Thank you. Firstly, we would like to inform you that because of the slowdown in the demand, there has also been a little bit of conservative approach from the farmer side, who are already have been doing farming in the past few years, I mean, for many years, and they actually did reduce certain, you know, some areas and also some stocking densities in the past 1 year. So to precisely answer your question, as and when such developments take place in other parts of the country, like you mentioned in the north of India, it necessarily need not create a supply glut in the present period, because there is also going to be a little bit of drop in the production from the existing farmers, which we foresee even going into the current financial year, FY25. So such alternative areas with the support from government would definitely be helping in bringing a balance in the supply. So that way, we don't expect a glut. To answer your question, we don't. Whenever such steps are taken by the government and any progress is made, and whatever supply is created with those efforts would definitely support any shortage of supply which is likely to be there in the current fiscal, especially because of the dampened markets or lack, reduced prices in the overall market scenario. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Noted. Sir, wanted to understand, I think a couple of calls back earlier, you had mentioned about the government of Ecuador taking away the diesel subsidy, which could have rationalized their pumping of produce into the global economy. Has that taken place, sir, or because you also mentioned today, Ecuador continues to lead the supply game. So just wanted to understand, where are we from Ecuador's perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it was true at that point. Also, Ecuador has been levied CVD marginally, but that is on a preliminary level, which I think we have also informed in the earlier calls, in the last call. Which they did, of course, they did rectify it subsequently, but however, there is a preliminary CVD which has been imposed on them. And also, just a few days back, on the 23rd of May, we have heard, we have understood from a public announcement that Ecuador has also been levied an anti-dumping, this is preliminary, anti-dumping duty of 10.58%, and also along with Ecuador, again, Indonesia on a preliminary basis have been awarded an anti-dumping duty rate of 6.3%. This is, I'm just answering, we are answering on the, in context with regard to any duties being levied. Duties being levied on these countries, but that also answers the Ecuador side. So that is the situation with regard to that. They have been levied as countervailing duty too, but there have been some changes, and we will know with more clarity by around October or November of 2024 when it will be finalized with regard to the countervailing duty, which will be more because of the subsidies, of course. On our front, which we have already announced, I have announced in the beginning, in the opening remarks, that India has been levied a countervailing duty of 4.36%, again, which is also preliminary. But however, that is also our rate at which we have been making provisions as well as cash deposits for any arrivals or shipments arriving into the United States from April 1st, 2024, which basically also have been factored in even for those shipments which have started from India in the month of February and March. So that is the situation on the countervailing duty to answer your subsidy-related question, but parallelly, I think I've also answered on the anti-dumping duty rate, which was just announced 5 days ago.
Definitely, sir. That was helpful, sir. If I may ask one more question. So we've been waiting for this RTE facility at EU going live for more than 3.5 years. Any clarity on this, like when, where is it headed, and any timelines have been shared with the government there?
It's been 5 years since we have been waiting. I mean, for us, because as I mentioned, it was in 2019. Around 2019, no approvals have been given, and our facility of capability of ready to eat was available since 2020, basically FY21. So it's been almost 5 years, and the main challenge here is the discussions and the talks between Government of India and the EU Council based in Brussels. The last we heard in September 2023 is that there is some perusal and talks basically going on between Government of India and the EU Commission regarding this issue of awarding new factories their approval, the respective approvals. Also, removing most likely, which we are not yet sure, they are also going to remove the 4.3% duty, which is there on Indian shrimp across the European Union, and also removing one of the non-tariff barrier, which was there of testing every Indian shipment, 50%, sorry, 50% of every Indian shipment, which is arriving into the EU for antibiotic substances, which actually causes a big challenge for the importers. So all these three main points are part of those discussions, and they have informed us in September 2023 that these points will be taken care very soon. And we think it will be moving more positively probably from next month. I mean, once the new government is in place in the first week, I mean, sorry, in the month of June. So whenever, once the government is in place after these elections are completed, we think things can get more active. And all these three points, which also includes our company's own approval for ready-to-eat capacity, also could be accorded soon. We are positive about it in this year. We are very positive about it based on what we received, the information which we received in September 2023.
Sure. Appreciate all the responses, sir, and hoping there's a quick turnaround. It's been a long wait, but I continue to have faith on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure the management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we will request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Gauri from Old Bridge Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, we heard your comments on ADD and CVD across various countries, India, Ecuador, Indonesia. Could you just sum it up for us? I know that these are preliminary duties and subject to change, but just in case, as things stand today, what is really the CVD and ADD preliminary duty for India, similarly for Ecuador, and similarly for Indonesia? So this will help us appreciate the competitive positioning that India would have versus the other two nations. That's my first question.
Yeah, Ms. Gauri, first thing regarding the anti-dumping duty rate of India, as mentioned in the opening remarks, it's 4.3. The anti-dumping duty rate is 1.35%, which has been the case for the past 4 years. In the case of India, for our company, it's 1.35% anti-dumping duty rate. The preliminary rate of CVD for India is at 4.36%, which also is the rate for our company, 4.36%, which is subject to change around October or November, we'll know. But we have already started paying the deposits, the CVD for those consignments since whichever have been arriving into the U.S. since April 1st, 2024. With regard to Indonesia, they do not have any CVD pretty much they are at 0%, which we were we were also kind of getting that information from the beginning. And their anti-dumping duty, however, as I have mentioned, that has their anti-dumping duty is 6.30% for the country of Indonesia. And in the case of Ecuador, their CVD, their anti-dumping duty is 10.58%, as I had mentioned earlier, preliminary. Please remember, in the case of Indonesia and Ecuador, both the duties are on preliminary basis, because they could be, they will be changing around October or November. They will be final, they will be finalized. That with which is regarding that. So in the case of Ecuador,
Yeah, you gave us a number of 10.58 as ADD, which is a preliminary duty and subject to revision, and subject to finalization. Okay, and CVD would be?
Yeah, in the case of CVD, they have actually initially been announced 7.55%, but that actually got revised after a few days. There was some correction on the Ecuador due to CVD, which, 1 minute please. 1 minute. I'll come back to you on that.
Yeah, no problem. I'll take this offline. The second one was on really, you know, we've got a slower growth this year. However, somehow our gross margins have been able to hold. So if you can comment, is there a product mix change that is helping us, or a geography mix change that is helping us? Because while, you know, you have a slower top line growth, gross margins, however, are not as bad. And second is on the working capital also. Somehow we've been able to contain our interest costs. If you can comment on the two.
Yeah. On with regard to the gross margins, of course, it's more on the market mix for sure. The EU business growing definitely during the quarter has balanced out to maintain that, even though we have had a huge drop with regard to our US sales in that quarter. However, as we keep stating in the past also, we believe the cross margins could even further be increasing as and when we have the ability to produce the ready-to-eat products for the European Union market too, which unfortunately, yeah, it's a long wait. It has been a long wait for our company, waiting for almost 5 years, as I mentioned to one of the earlier participants. And so that is the stage with regard to, that's the status with regard to the cross margins part. And your second question was
on the working capital, really. I mean, we've seen a some bit of a slippage, you know, the interest costs, however, have been contained. So is it something to do as on the balance sheet date, or if you can really comment?
No, actually, it is not to do with the balance sheet date alone, but it will even be coming down even further. As of course, even though compared to last year, our major working capital is on with regard to our debtors, which is our receivables, which was of course last year it was 38 days last year, but this year it has increased by 10 days, but that's mainly because you know, our say shipments with all the Red Sea crisis which is there has been taking longer duration because of sailing periods, and so that is one reason it has increased marginally, especially during the complete, you know, part of the third quarter and mostly the fourth quarter. But however, we also have a significant amount of receivables pending through scripts and duty drawbacks at with the Government of India, which we are likely to see those being received in this Q1 FY25, thereby which would also enable us to reduce our borrowing even further, and thereby lowering our overall interest costs for sure, even going into the current year. I mean, that's what I was trying to answer to you on that point.
So, thank you, sir, and all the best. I'll join back in the queue for more questions.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Bala Murali Krishna from Oman Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So regarding the CVD, so when we are selling for USA, so we'll take that.
Bala, sir, there is a background noise at your end.
Just a moment.
Yeah.
It's fine now.
Yes.
So regarding the CVD, so if we are selling for a USA, so the CVD will be absorbed at our end, or our customer will take a hit off the CVD?
Well, the CVD, of course, the prices marginally did increase, but that has, they have increased since towards the end of Q4, I mean, and also from the beginning of Q1 of FY25, marginally, but we cannot attribute that increase on the customer side entirely to the CVD, the effect of CVD alone, but also we also have had increased freight costs also by a little marginally compared to last year because of this Red Sea crisis, where the vessels take longer time to reach destination, and thereby the shipping lines are charging a little bit extra compared to what they were charging last year. So overall, there has been some effect on the prices at the sales side, but we wouldn't attribute that entirely to the CVD part. And we please understand that our company and many other companies in India, all majority of the companies in India who do exports to USA, do it on DDP basis, which is delivery duty paid. So where the duty is being paid by us, definitely as the new duties come into play, even to other countries like Ecuador and Indonesia, which did not have any type of duties until now, we are a bit positive that it is more of a level playing field for all supplying nations of shrimp into the U.S. market, and thereby we do expect that there could be some rise in the pricing going forward with these new duties also coming into play. But that, of course, also depends on the inherent demand in the market, like U.S. market primarily. So these will be having some effect for sure on the pricing. And as I mentioned, whatever price increase we have had marginally from the U.S. market since the beginning of this current fiscal year. However, we have also have had additional costs incurring at our end also. So yeah, that should answer your question.
Yeah, that's a great estimate. And do you see any further downside in the margins in this quarter? As I think the CVD is not fully accounted for the last quarter. So all this scenario.
The last quarter CVD was provisioned for all the shipments that have been affected by CVD, because as I mentioned to one of the earlier participants that even shipments of February month also had to be made, they had to be brought into the CVD because they were all arriving into April. Whatever shipments of our company, basically of anybody of in India that have been arriving into France since April 1st have been subject to CVD at 4.36%. Additionally, apart from the 1.35% anti-dumping duty which we were already paying. Yeah.
So, and one more on the anti-dumping duty on the feeder. So, I think you mentioned some line deadline. I missed that. Can you mention that? And again, if it is implemented, then what could be the advantage for the Indian exporters? So, how the pricing will be?
Well, I have we have mentioned earlier regarding the Ecuador's anti-dumping duty rate. That was at 10.58% was the preliminary anti-dumping duty rate on Ecuador. So obviously, if we consider our situation with both CVD and ADD, that is anti-dumping duty combined, currently, even though on preliminary basis we are at 5.71%, while Ecuador, again, that is also on preliminary side, having an anti-dumping duty of 10.58%, that pretty much answers it, what would be the impact. We could see, you know, certain advantages, but at the same time, we also have to see how the market goes by. I think I responded to you itself that it's more of a level playing field for all the producing countries that export to the U.S. market, because two of the major key main supplying nations of Ecuador and Indonesia did not have any sort type of duties until now, but now they are having along with us. And that the rates, of course, are varying. They are at a much higher rate. So we have to see how that goes by. But definitely, if we are at 5.71% for both the duties combined, and if they are at 10% plus, definitely it would be advantageous to us in one way. But we have to see how it goes by. We also have to see how the demand in the U.S. also progresses going forward.
Just a small follow-up on that. Thank you, but I think U.S. authorities are planning to increase the anti-dumping duty on the Ecuador. So I think that our decision is still pending. So when
That decision only I have just informed you. 10.58% is what has been announced on Ecuador preliminarily. We would know what is the final around October or November of 2024, most likely. If there is any update, any further update after that, we would let you know when it is available. Okay.
Sure. And lastly, on that demand side, so you might have seen a lot of cycles. So when we are coming out of this inflation cycle, so how the demand will pick up for our shrimp products in the USA? So we can expect the immediate demand, or it will take maybe 1 or 2 years to get the demand on track?
Well, we find it, you know, it's good that you're positive that we are coming out of the inflation cycle, but we have not seen any such signals as of now or any indications as of now. There is a pressure for sure in the U.S. market in general, and definitely when there is a contraction, not only on the, you know, the inflation part, but also their interest rates, if there is some good chunk of reduction and overall gasoline prices reducing, definitely that would also add that adds, you know, additional scope for demand and for the demand to pick up for sure. So we should remain positive, definitely, but currently we haven't yet seen any of such things happening. So we are eagerly waiting, because we will keep you updated as we have any better news going forward. But as and when you know, any such pressures of inflationary related, or you know, the overall market scenario, definitely as the demand picks up, we are looking forward for such a situation. However, on our company side, we will be continuing to push even further than what we did in the past. with regard to going after every other market which is there outside the United States. Okay.
Sure. Thanks a lot for your explanation.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Wanted to understand the current rates of RoDTEP. Are they up for revision, and what is going on with the scheme? Because if I'm correct, the scheme has been extended because of the election till September. So any highlight on what could happen to the scheme, or could it change, or could it continue, or would it continue under a different name?
Currently we have no information that it's going to be discontinued as such. However, with regard to the RoDTEP scheme and the duty drawback scheme, the Indian shrimp industry is awaiting for some, certain information, also certain workings on these schemes, because the workings based on, we all know that the duty drawback as well as the RoDTEP scheme is all about refunding or reimbursing those indirect taxes and duties and other levies which are on our inputs in our industry, from hatchery to exports, right, all the way to the processing part. So actually those workings are available in a better way. I mean, rather, if they are presented by the government, we will at least, we could easily see even our CVD in the US market to be reducing from 4.36% to much lower. There was some issue. So we expect those workings also to be made available in the coming months, and hopefully we are positive on that part. But I'm just answering the other question, because we have been awarded 4.36% on the preliminarily on the countervailing duty part in the US, mainly because some information was not available, but it's being made available hopefully soon. So currently the RoDTEP scheme and the duty drawback scheme, we haven't been told for any changes. However, they are taking additional workings regard to this information. They are taking additional workings, which we believe when all the workings are put together, and if we are having a better scope to have an increase, we would likely have it. But currently we haven't been told of any such reduction or increase as such, because I think your question was more about any reduction or if the scheme was going to be removed altogether. But as you know, all the schemes like RoDTEP or earlier MEIS or VJGUI or DEPD, they were all subject to renewal or being extended for it on a yearly basis or biannual. If you remember, even in the past, that's how it was. So from the beginning, it's been since the past 25 years almost, since the duty entitlement passbook scheme has come into existence. However, the nomenclature has changed, and also the methodology of working of those schemes working have changed over the years. And now RoDTEP is more WTO compliant than what the earlier scheme was. So that is the whole background behind this. And so we haven't received any information as of now about discontinuation of such scheme, though.
Understood, sir. So second question would be on your depreciation expenses, which is booked for the Q4, substantially lower. And also it was, there's a note on why this is substantially lower. So what would be the normalized depreciation rate on a quarterly basis?
Yeah, just a minute. Prasad, 1 minute, please. Prasad? Prasad?
Yes, sir. Hello.
depreciation rate. Can you repeat your question, please, once again, Nitin?
The depreciation charge for Q4 is substantially lower, and it was mentioned because it has been done because there has been some changes or reassessing the life of the fixed assets. So going forward, what will be the depreciation hit every quarter, roughly?
Actually, this year we have taken the life of asset actual from the expected engineer. So based on
that, are used to expect. What is the quarterly depreciation in Arutana? After considering the reviewing the useful life that has been stated, and the quarterly impact from here on?
Maybe it is reduced on a quarterly basis.
So,
on a quarterly basis, 1 crore it can be reduced from next quarter onwards compared to the previous
year. Understood. So compared to the previous year, one crore per quarter, so that will be roughly 4 crores on an annual depreciation reduction.
Yeah.
Okay. So last question from my side, hatchery sales, how has it been going? One, comparatively, as a year-to-year perspective, are you seeing increases? Are you seeing what is the farmer appetite right now? And number two, as we had entered this scheme to build the relationships with the farming community, how is that? Has it helped, and is it meeting your expectations that, you know, having your own hatcheries is somehow extending the network of farms from which you can procure?
Yeah, the first thing on the hatchery side, yes, it has marginally increased compared to last year, as far as the feed sales is concerned, between FY23 and FY24. However, as I had mentioned to one of the earlier callers too, there definitely has been some conservative approach with the farmers in this year. I mean, especially towards the end of FY24 and the beginning of FY25. There's been some conservative approach because of a very stable, low pricing environment, farm gate pricing environment in which the farmers are working. They are, of course, working definitely very hard to bring down their costs, as they also understand the market scenario and the international dynamics which are affecting the market, which was kind of much more reassuring in the past 10 years. If you see, since 2013, these pretty much have been like the historically low numbers, like almost it's been since 2013, so almost like a decade low farm gate prices were there in the year FY24. So that definitely had had an effect a little bit on the overall farmer's psychic with regard to how many acres of farm he should be doing, or how many farms should he be managing by himself, or how much is the stocking densities which he should be planning. So there has been an impact, and they are going with a reduced approach. So why I'm mentioning this is this definitely has an impact on the amount of seed which they are sourcing or they are buying. But in our case, we have been going steadily. It's not a significant jump compared to last year. But last year it was around 77 million rupees, and this year it's been 90 million. But it's nothing significantly increased. But overall, we know that the farmers do have a conservative approach, and they're going slowly. They're like one of the earlier participants also was mentioning about some improvement, increase in the overall aquaculture activity, even in the northern part of India, which is a very, very good news, actually, in one way, because that will eventually balance any shortage of supply or any drop in supply overall in the country, in the south. But, of course, it is definitely another challenge of how that product would be handled, which is produced mostly in northern India, because logistically there are challenges. But getting back to the topic of the farmer psychic and their thought process and approach, they are going very careful because they are understanding that they get a clear understanding that the way the dynamics in the international markets are CVDs coming in and overall muted Chinese demand. So they are understanding that the prices are not looking, you know, they are not likely to go up in a significant manner. And so they are really introspecting about their costings, their cost metrics, and how they can bring them down. In fact, quite a lot of farming sites have been able to the farmers were able to reduce their lease costs. Quite a lot of farmers, actually. But there are still some farmers who are still paying high lease costs. But with the way this market is, eventually, land lease is one of the very key cost, important cost with regard to the farmers. So apart from other costs. But so that is one good thing which is happening. So overall, our sales hasn't really picked up significantly, but it is good. And yes, it is positive for us that we are able to continue our growing relationship and not only bringing in new suppliers or farmers, but also growing with our existing farmers. Definitely it is, because our company doesn't have the backup of the major input for a farmer, which is the feed, which our company has never ventured into. So the seed, the sales, and shrimp seed sales definitely is keeping our relationships definitely going very well. However, with regard to the overall drop in demand, we have also curtailed our hatchery operations, limited to our main hatcheries located in the south of Andhra Pradesh. So that's why we are also bringing down our costs overall with regard to our hatchery operations too, so that consolidating all the sales from the major producing site. So yeah, it is working in a positive manner, but in a gradual manner. So as I mentioned, we have not significantly increased between FY23 and FY24. But we are positive about it because of the direct relationships which we have with the farmers, our primary producers.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jaideep from Clockvine Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, thanks for taking my question. So just a clarification, the duties on Ecuador were zero before this current implementation of anti-dumping duty and CVD on Ecuador.
Yes.
Okay. And anti-dumping duty you mentioned is 10.58 and CVD 7.5%. So altogether around 18% of duty on Ecuador.
No. Sorry. We don't have that information readily here with us. The CVD of Ecuador was revised. It was actually reduced quite well. I don't have it preliminary with us, but we will definitely provide the answer in the transcript for sure. Definitely. Okay. So the CVD rate was high initially, but they rectified it, they corrected it, and they provided a reduced rate for them. However, we don't have it offhand with us. We will definitely provide it to you a little shortwise.
As per your opinion, the 7.5% rate which you mentioned earlier has been reduced.
Yes, correct. There are some corrections done for them.
Both the anti-dumping duty and CVD were zero before.
They were zero before, yes. Yes.
Sir, does this incremental increase in duties on Ecuador versus India, does it bridge the advantage which Ecuador had on cost of production versus India?
Well, with regard to the U.S. market specifically, yes, as I had mentioned, it is going to be a level playing field comparatively. I have the rate. The CVD rate on Ecuador preliminarily is 2.89%. I'm sorry, I could not provide this earlier to the earlier participants, but the CVD rate on preliminary basis on Ecuador is at 2.89% instead of the earlier ordered 7.55%. It is actually 2.89%. We will know the final rate around October and November months as stated. Most likely we would know around that time. Okay. And these duties did not, with regard to the US market for Ecuador or Indonesia, which we have mentioned earlier, did not exist earlier. They were never there. This is the first time and they are there to continue as far as our understanding is concerned.
Got it. And so you said that some of your customers have switched to Ecuador. For what kind of product have they switched? And why? I'm guessing it, if it's a peel product, earlier understanding was that India has significant advantage in peel product. So why did this customer shift?
Well, definitely India has an advantage with regard to peel product. However, we cannot ignore the fact that about Ecuador being with in a very close proximity to the North American market in general and US market in specific. They are at a week sailing time from Ecuador to US ports. It's only a week. While today, with regard to India, it takes anywhere between 5 to 7 weeks, from almost 5 to 8 weeks sometimes, because we are on the other side of, you know, the earth. So from India, it takes a longer duration. So until last month, or until pretty much until last week, the US market and the buyers out there were considering this as an alternative option because of the close proximity for sure. And they get the deliveries much sooner from them. That's why they were also buying the similar products which they were buying from India and other Asian producing countries. However, as we are discussing on that subject continuously on this call, now the duty effect, we should see how that will change the approach of the customers and where, how the, you know, product will be placed at what level because of these additional costs which are likely to be imposed upon the Ecuadorian processors. We should see how it would go, though. We need to see how it will happen. But that is, something that will definitely, that is a, you know, impact. But we will also know, we'll have a more clarity more towards October, November. But until then, they have to pay 10.58% anti-dumping duty and also 2.89% of countervailing duty. So we should see. Until then, they'll be paying. So we need to see how they will go.
Got it, sir. Okay. And so this duty will be levied on the landing price of shrimp in US, so approximately $7.
Sorry, I did not. Of course, all the duties are on the landing price.
Which is the approximately duties, $7 right now, right?
No. Sorry, I didn't understand from where you got this $7 number.
So as per my memory, I think the current average price of shrimp exports to US is $7 per kg, right?
No, that depends. No, please. That depends. Maybe you are saying in specific to our... No, that depends on what products they produce and in what volume they produce. So, yes, end of the day, the anti-dumping duty or the countervailing duty will be on the landing price, means at the price at which it is shipped. Obviously, everybody has to do shipment duty, delivery duty paid on that terms. So naturally, it will be on whatever the product price is, on the, including freight costs. The CVDs and the anti-dumping duty, the ADD, will be charged on the FOB value, not. Doesn't include the freight cost. It will be on the free on board value. So they'll remove the freight cost and they will be calculating the duties on the product. Okay.
Got it. The last question from my side.
Jaideep, I request you to rejoin the queue for your follow-up questions.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shantanu Naik from HCMR India. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to ask the geography-wise revenue split shown in the presentation shows that the revenue share from Europe has increased. So my question is, the change in revenue share has increased due to the lower sales, or we are facing a strong demand from European markets?
We have actually mainly lower sales in the US, but also we are having increased demand in the European market also.
Okay.
Mainly, of course, definitely our sales to US have significantly dropped, but also our demand from EU, Europe has also been picking up, and it is also evident even in the present day as we speak.
Okay, and I just had got disconnected from the line back, so I just wanted to know the duties on shrimps in Europe market. So this, could you just go back and tell what are the duties or like that you were talking about 50%?
So on the Indian shrimp, it's around 4.3% on the raw, on the ready to cook shrimp, and on the ready to eat, it is 7.7% odd. Yeah, in the Europe. Yeah.
Okay, and I just wanted to confirm that we do sell only RTC and RTA products, right?
We are currently selling only RTC products into the EU market, and we will be. We are looking forward. We'll be selling even shipping ready RTE products also to the EU market, as and when once we get our regulatory approval done.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for answering. I'll wait in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. First, regarding the ready-to-eat segment, so what is our aspiration toward this segment? How much of revenue from this segment as a percentage of total revenue are we envisaging going forward?
Yeah, actually, on the RTE, we have, in fact, added additional capacity of 5,000 metric tons from this year, from the beginning of this year. Unfortunately, because of the drop in demand from the US, where we are only approved for the US market, which we are approved and which we were betting high on, we have had a drop even in the share of RTE sale. Last year it was around 22%, but however this year, because of the overall drop in demand, it has dropped down to 16%. In FY24, but as the RTE products are mainly meant for retail and supermarket customers, we are quite positive, and as we would increase our sales both in the US as well as other markets in Europe once we get the approval, and other markets in Asia, which we are now envisaging to go aggressively in. We are looking to increase the RTE product share overall, and we are betting strong on that because that is where we see the future. And definitely, as mentioned and stated earlier in several calls, the RTE products also take care not only on the revenue side for the company, but also they take care on additional margins for sure. That's where we are looking forward to heavily.
Yes, sir, just to follow up on that, you said ready to eat fetches higher margin. So can you specify the quantum, like how much better margin do they fetch?
Approximately around 50 cents, approximately. 50 cents per kilo, approximately.
Okay.
Gross margin. It used to be earlier, but now it's kind of come down with the lower realizations of late.
Okay. And with respect to our approval to European countries, So why is it taking so long, and when should we expect the approval to be in place?
This is beyond us. It has nothing to do with our company or our facility as such. In fact, no Indian shrimp processing facilities which have started their operations since 2019 have been approved by the EU Commission. And that is more to do with the discussions between the EU Commission and the Government of India. But as I had mentioned to one of the participants earlier, we have had some positive news coming in around September last year saying that things will be, they are looking forward to get it done with very soon. That I think maybe positively things will move faster once the new government comes in place next month. We should see things happening much sooner, and hopefully by September this year they may positively move everything forward, because it's just the discussions between the two governments, I mean the EU Commission and the Indian government, and it's less to do with individual companies or individual facilities. So we are looking forward for it eagerly, because we are really missing out a big chunk on our sales too. In fact, we can't produce even RTC from our new greenfield project, or rather our new processing plant which has been commissioned in 2020, because that entire capacity is not available for the EU market.
Yeah. So my last question is regarding the political instability at Ecuador. We saw some political instability at the start of this year. So does it have any significant impact on ground with respect to supply from Ecuador?
We haven't heard any thing so far about that. But we know that the cost of security for the companies located in Ecuador have increased compared to the past. So we need to see how the things will pay out over the next few months and years. But currently, I think there are other issues outside Ecuador which are of bigger in nature, whether it is the duties in the U.S. market or the issues in Chinese market. So we need to see how things will go by. But we don't have much of information of how the security-related issues are really impacting them across the board. There could be individual stray incidents, but we don't know any. We haven't heard of any significant incidents affecting the industry overall. They're continuing to produce. To answer your question, they're continuing to produce as of now.
Yeah, thank you. All the best for your future quarters.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Siddharth from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have one question, which is regarding the demand in China, demand for shrimp in China, because you used to say that Ecuador used to supply mainly to China, and because of the slowdown in the Chinese demand, they've diverted a lot to the United States. Now, so right now, what is the status of demand for frozen shrimp in China?
The frozen shrimp in China, of course, it's been slow. It's not been aggressive. Overall, in general, and one of the main reasons why Ecuador has also been trying to push in more product into the U.S. market is also because of their largest export market, which is China, getting affected over the past 1 to 2 years. And overall, of course, yes, Chinese demand has slowed down a little bit. Also, it's also got to do with some increased production domestically in China, which is taking care of the domestic market. So so it is definitely the overall demand in China is also slow currently. We need to see how it goes by. And we of course, our company continues to do a little bit to China, but nothing significant. It maintains around that 5% level, nothing too high. We are confident that it wouldn't go beyond that 5 to 8% at the most, nothing more than that.
Understood.
So one more question is that what is the capacity utilization of the RTE plant?
As I mentioned earlier, with regard to capacity utilization, that also has dropped compared to last year. It is 33% currently. Last year, it was 45%. Sorry, that's the overall capacity utilization, I'm sorry. With regard to the RTE sale, it was 22% last year, and this year it is 16%. It has dropped because of the overall demand from the U.S. market, which had impacted our shipments and our sales, which we were heavily dependent upon.
Okay, thanks. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Due to time constraint, we will take the last question from the line of Akshita Telisara from Aionios Alpha Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So we just read a couple of reports that said that the biggest player in Ecuador, Santa Priscilla, has, I mean, the ADD that's announced, 10.5, is actually for him is 1.6 or 1.7%, and the company need not maintain any cash deposits. So if you just add the CVD and the ADD, then it's well below the total duties that India would have to pay. So how do you think of this, I mean, while bridging the gap between the prices by Ecuador and India?
In the case of Santa Priscilla, like you mentioned, their cash deposit rate for anti-dumping duty is, of course, de minimis, which has been as announced, like you rightly mentioned. But however, with the other participant who was there, the other respondent who was being selected, they have been levied 10.58%. In the Santa Priscilla's case, for anti-dumping, it was 1.54%. So that's why it is, since being below 2%, it is zero, one company. And also in the case of CVD, like you mentioned, it is 2.89%. So, whereas the other company got 0%, the company which got 10.58% in anti-dumping is at 0% in countervailing duty, and the company which got 0% in anti-dumping, which is Santa Priscilla, has got 2.89%.
How big would this company be? Like, what would be the market share of?
It is one of the leading. It is one of the leading processors in Ecuador. Yeah, right. Like you rightly mentioned. It is. I don't have the exact number, but as far as well, they do. I think over $1 billion US, which. Primary market being China and second largest being European Union and the last, of course, the United States until now. So they do over $1 billion US of shrimp exports. I mean, they are, of course, they also produce their own product. They're mostly farming, into farming. That's as far as we know from the public information.
Okay, that's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, that was the last question for the day. I will now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you one and all for attending our quarterly con call for Q4 and FY24. Have a good, nice day. And for any further queries or clarifications, you can always reach out to us at ir@apexfrozenfoods.com. Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Apex Frozen Foods Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.